pretty high up on this thing.
Man, that was funky fresh, though.
You see how much this is going in the red? You think it's all right?
It can't be too loud.
If it's too loud, you're too old. You know what I mean?
I have heard that before. Yep. I don't remember where.
Are you sure this looks okay, though, for real?
Like, it looks great to me.
Jumping like crazy.
Yeah. I think it's okay.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Action Feature.
Whoa, that's too loud.
Action Features, the podcast.
The podcast.
Was that too loud?
It's fine.
All right.
The podcast.
Let's move this back a little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll move it right here.
Yeah.
This is what, episode 79, I think, maybe?
I think so. I'm not even counting until we get...
Oh, you brought the crowns!
I'm not counting until we get to 100.
All right, so this episode is brought to you by Servati Pastry Shop and Deli, who provided us with these delicious crowns, and all we had to do was give money for them.
All we had to do was give... We exchanged money from the Action Features snack funds.
How much do I owe you for this?
I took it from the Action Features snack funds.
Oh, okay. So. I thought AC said it was 10%.
AC said 10%.
What are we going to do in this episode, Michael?
We're going to eat some cheese crowns, Pete's sake.
Cheese crowns.
I don't know if we've talked about these before, but we're hooked on them. When I go to somebody, they have two giant cases full of pastries to pick from, and I don't see anything else. I don't want anything else.
It's almost like two stores like put together when you go in there, too. It's like two shops, like the wall was taken out between two shops.
Mm-hmm.
It's just filled with pastries. But now that we've had this...
I don't want anything else.
You can see all those other things, and you just don't even care. I'm sure everything else is great. But these are perfect.
It's a pastry that has like a little bit of cheesecake kind of in the center of it with strawberries on top. But
are
at the bottom...
Are the cherries?
Well, I don't know.
I think they're cherries.
Okay.
Maybe they're cherries.
They're cherries.
I can't remember.
Whatever it is, it's a red fruit with some sort of, you know, how they put...
Fruitiness.
Or like a gel on it. But at the bottom of the cheesecake in the center is this thick, heavy, dense...
Brown sugar.
Brown...
How come you taste so good?
It's like a brown
sugar. It's like cinnamon and brown sugar.
I guess high off your love.
Yeah, it's like cinnamon and sugar.
It's like a graham cracker, cinnamon, sugar, brown sugar thing. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
My mom makes mini cheesecakes, and she does this, where she puts that little layer of it in the bottom, and that's what it reminds me of, but it's like a giant one of those.
She doesn't have the resources that Savati's has to
she
put
it... She can't make it this huge.
Put a big, thick layer at the bottom.
No, she can't do that.
No.
Only a pastry shop can
only
do
a pastry
like
shop
that.
Can do that.
But it's amazing. You don't know that's even there when you're looking at it. I was saying that they need to do some kind of like plastic 3D model of these things, have a cutaway, like at a doctor's office where you could take the organs out. And this, where you just open
you
up a
it.
Plastic pastry and be like, oh, look at the layers you're going to have inside. Because a lot of people, I don't think, know these are like this.
They don't
and
know.
So they're like...
They have extras
don't
every
leave
day.
That, don't leave that piece behind. Don't do that to that piece.
I'll eat it.
Okay. So these are delicious. Thank you, Mike, for...
No problem.
...going on a pastry run. So we're going to eat these while we talk.
I took it out of the Action Features snack food
funds.
Okay,
rude. I'm going to do it anyway.
My goodness. Okay. Oh. So...
I guess it'd be tough to think about anything but these as we're eating these.
I know. I'm scared to even start because I won't be able to.
I know what we're doing.
You start. I'll cover. What we had originally planned was a Star Worlds episode, but we didn't quite get the DAT tapes cleaned in time.
Yeah, they were dusty and rusty.
They were dusted and rusted.
Uh huh.
So we're going to. But a lot of stuff has happened or seemed to happen.
A lot of stuff.
Easy. A lot of stuff happened, and we said, why not? Why, maybe it's best to just go ahead and...
Let's just catch up.
Let's just go ahead and talk about the things. And yeah. So we're going to do an episode where we're...
Just talk about things.
Talking about things, catching up.
Go back and forth. Talk about some things.
Going back and... Back, forth, and forth.
Okay, first of all, is there any place you want to start? Or just...
Man,
just
I don't know.
Watching this stuff.
Well, I'll just go... Well, here's something stupid. A Yahoo article...
A Yahoo article that's stupid?
The title, I didn't
no
click
way.
I didn't click on the article.
No way, dude.
I didn't click on it, I promise. But it's just, maybe it's not stupid, but for anybody who cares, it might be. The title is, it's about Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Prometheus ending. How does this movie connect to Alien?
Why are they still talking about Prometheus?
Yeah, for one, that's old news.
That was like last year.
Anybody who cares has already seen Prometheus and knows exactly how it ties into Alien. It's the ship.
Yeah.
It's the alien ship. And so when they find that ship, that's the one that's been sitting there that was from Prometheus. That's about the only tie-in, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
And well, don't the like aren't the like the engineers like making the Eldeon or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Xenomorph comes
from the engineers that they make the Eldeon.
But I mean, anything further than that is probably just reading into it too much. So it probably wasn't even worth mentioning, honestly.
All right.
But that was it.
I don't want to get too controversial with things, but TV Land has pulled the Dukes of Hazzard reruns.
Yeah.
That's stupid. I don't want to go too much into this because I don't want to get involved in the whole, you know,
that's not
talking about what's going on.
That's not what we do.
That's not what we do here, but I just want to go on record as saying that's stupid.
I also think it's stupid, and so does...
John Schneider.
So does John Schneider.
Yeah, he thinks it's stupid.
Rightfully so. Yeah. And the reason is sort of, I think, we're sort of mixing up, we're confusing things that aren't the problem for the problem. You think you're taking care of a problem by forcing other people to let go of something that really didn't mean that to them to begin with. I mean, I don't know.
That has nothing to do with the show. Like, literally nothing to do with
the show. Yeah, just Dukes of Hazzard is not that at all.
Yeah.
It's not that at all. So what are you going to... You're just never going to show it again? Is nobody ever going to see the Dukes... Bo and Luke Duke jumping over the General Lee? Maybe they won't. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I have Dukes of Hazzard on DVD. I'll watch it whenever I feel like it.
That's pretty much what you got to do now.
And...
For the world in general, just own DVDs.
Nobody can stop me. That's why I have DVDs.
So I don't have to worry about what's going on currently.
Some people say, oh, I don't need that. I have Netflix. Until they yank it.
Until they yank it.
Until you don't have it anymore.
Until they yank it from you. Yeah. All right, so there was that. Here's some good news. We have some good news?
Well, there's plenty of good news. This is not going to be a complaining episode.
It's not.
There's plenty of good stuff.
I'm going to complain some, but... Because that's what I do. But here's some good news. Robert Zemeckis has said... In his lifetime, there will be no Back to the Future reboot.
That's good.
He said that both him...
I hope he lives a long, healthy life.
Well, he said that Bob Gale and he have in their contracts that they get approval on anything film-related to Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So they have to approve it for it to happen, and they said they will not approve any reboots.
Good.
And they're hoping they can work it out so that after they die... that their estates can block any Back to the Future reboots.
That's great. I hope the right people are in charge of their estates.
I think that is fantastic. Because they're like, there's no reason to reboot this. These are perfect the way they are.
Perfect.
Why reboot it?
Perfect.
And then I also liked this, where they said, what about doing a fourth movie? And they said, well, there were ideas that we could have done a fourth movie, but we can't do, you know...
It's sort of difficult to...
Now we can't do it, you know, with Michael J. Fox's condition. We can't do Back to the Future without... You know, Michael J. Fox's Marty McFly. We just wouldn't do it. To do back... And he said this.
Just bring back Eric Stoltz and have him play the role.
Yeah, why not? This is a great line. He said, to do Back to the Future without Michael J. Fox would be me like... It would be me saying, I want to fix you a great steak dinner, but I want to hold the beef.
Hold the beef, please.
That's exactly it. You can do the greatest film you want to do, but if you don't have Michael J. Fox back in Back to the Future, then it's pointless.
What's the point?
That's like doing Ghostbusters, but not including... Bill Murray and Dan... Oh.
Wait a second.
Wait. And we see how good that looks. Yeah, that's exactly what you'd have.
Or anything else, for that matter.
So, I thought that was great. And bravo to Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale for staying in their ground and not sitting here and going, ooh, I wonder how much money we could make if we did another Back to the Future or let them reboot it.
Yeah. Integrity.
Yeah.
I prefer integrity.
You miss
myself.
That in Hollywood these days.
I do miss it.
I'm going to try and get the things that... are kind of bad out of the way.
Okay.
All right. I read... Now, this could be wrong, but I'd read a synopsis of the Batman versus Superman plot, and it could be wrong. But given all the things that we heard were going to be in the movie, it seems like this would have to be pretty accurate to what's going to happen. And to me, it sounds incredibly obnoxiously overloaded for one film. It feels like five films put into one film... in order to get to Justice League as fast as they can.
Information overload.
And I had trouble following it just when I was reading it. I can only imagine trying to follow it where I can't go back and go, well, now wait, what? And then go back and reread something. So if the film is like this, it's going to be ridiculously dense.
But it's got all the heroes you want.
It's got all the heroes, though. It's got an Aquaman in it.
You don't understand. You don't understand. The Avengers was a very successful film.
And that's what we want to make.
We're going to do that.
So, yeah, I don't dwell on that too much, but...
Speaking of...
I showed a bunch of pictures of it today.
Well, yeah, Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor has been the most ridiculous thing I've seen...
The hair.
Come out of it. It actually makes me not care about everything else in the movie. I'm like, you know what, that's fine, that looks pretty good, actually.
Everything else is cool compared to this.
Compared to this nerd.
This hipster with long hair.
This nerd.
Yeah. No thanks.
He's barely even a hipster. He's just... It could be Michael Cera. It might as well have been Michael Cera, who I think is very funny, by the way, but I do not think is Lex Luthor material. So
I gotta be honest with you.
That's funny.
I mean, this crown as we talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't feel as bad about Batman vs Superman.
I don't care about anything that's being said, honestly. Either. Until this is done,
I'm enjoying this right now. So I'm like, you know what? I might see it. I might see the movie.
The show is.
If I have one of these, I would go see the movie. You know?
Yeah. The show is not really going to start until
if they were serving
this.
Crowns at Batman vs. Superman, I would go, you know what? I'm going to go.
Crawl.
I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to eat the crown. And once I'm done, then maybe I'll leave.
Crawl.
The crawl. Okay, so there's that. They showed a bunch of pictures of it today. And people are, like, going gaga over the pictures.
Yeah.
Other than the Luthor one. I'm not. I'm just, you know, okay.
They're going Lady Gaga.
And the more I see the Batman suit, I got to be honest, I don't really like it that much.
I will say I don't want to knock this too much. I do like I still like Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah.
The idea of it, but yeah, I was kind of, I don't know if it was just the angle in the picture that I saw or what, but it seemed like it was a little too,
looks too fake now,
like too chunky and kind of,
exactly, it looks overly bulked.
It looked like, great before. I was very impressed with it before, but it could just be the picture that I saw today.
He looks,
I don't
inflated,
know.
like it looks overly fake to me now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you've got guys that are kind of big anyway, like Ben Affleck's a pretty big dude, and he got in good shape for the movie.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing with Christian Bale in the Batman Begins movie, where he was in really, like, good shape. And they still went with, like, the billowy, you know, inflated fake rubber muscles for him. And it wasn't intended to look like in the first Batman film, in 89 Batman. It was, like, fake muscles, but it was intended to be body armor. And you could tell it was supposed to be body armor.
Yeah.
Whereas in these films... They're rubbery and billowy, and they feel like they're just fake muscles. Like, they're not intended to be body armor. They're just intended to be giant fake muscles.
You know what was awesome?
What's that?
That Batman versus Predator short film?
Yeah, that was cool.
Somebody put out several
Dead
years
end?
Back?
Yeah.
Dead End.
Yep. That was great. And that showed you could do Batman.
I know people
outfit.
Feel like they can't do that. Hollywood doesn't... They feel like they can't do that and just have, like, a cloth suit.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody did it, and it was great.
It was really good.
It was really good. By the way, if you guys had not seen that, I think it's just up on YouTube.
Probably
it's
on
like
YouTube,
a,
yeah. Batman Dead End.
It's like a 7-minute film or something, but it's really cool. Check it out. Yeah, okay.
Comic books are getting worse.
Okay.
They showed a bunch of the new... DC just got done rebooting again. To the DC Universe. Get it? Y-O-U Universe?
Because it's about me and real people. And
yeah, and like real life. And these are comics we're making for the young, hip audience. And these are going to be things you really want to see in comics.
I feel included now.
Yeah. And they've also said that, you know, continuity doesn't matter anymore. What we're trying to do is tell tales that are accessible and, you know, just really good stories. And not hanging so much up on continuity anymore, but just enjoyable stories made for a new young crowd.
Well,
no thanks. How about no?
If they mean they're going to do one-off episodes, I'm okay with that.
They're terrible, but, man. I flipped through the new Dr. Fate book, and I flipped through the new Starfire book, and the We Are Robin book, and they're just terrible. They just look terrible. They look so unappealing to me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine actually paying real money for that book. And reading it on a regular basis. Like, I couldn't, like, I can't wrap my brain around somebody willing to do that. And now Marvel's doing an all-new, all-different Marvel thing, where they're rebooting, and they showed a bunch of their new titles. And just for example, Spider-Man is now, Peter Parker is now a whiz kid tycoon, almost like Tony Stark.
What?
Where he makes lots of money over his inventions. The whole point of Peter Parker Spider-Man is that he has a nerdy, gloomy, can't get anything right type of life as Peter Parker, and his escape is Spider-Man. And even his escape as Spider-Man ends up, you know, being, why am I doing this still? But he still does it. You know, like it's
because of some deeper moral sense of right and wrong. I'm
if sure. you make him into that, he's Tony Stark. What's the? You've already got a Tony Stark. Why do you need another Tony Stark? That's the whole point of Tony Stark, is he's Tony Stark.
I don't think
it's stupid.
I don't think they're able to separate anymore. It's just everybody, you know, just throw everybody in the same pot. That's what it seems like.
It was nice because let me finish this bite here. John Byrne's old school, right?
Who?
John Byrne.
Yeah.
Old school comic writer and artist. And he's very opinionated. And sometimes I agree with him and sometimes I don't. But on this, I agreed with him. He was calling it out and saying, it's really a shame to see these writers really not appreciate history and just, you know, try to put their mark on something. You know, by doing something different. And that's how you're going to make your mark on a character, is by doing something drastically different. And Dad and Slott tried to come on there and say, well, I appreciate the history of the character, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And somebody else, I don't know if it was Dan Slott or who said it, but he said, you know, I just got a little weary of the whole Peter Parker is always a nerd and down on his luck, so it's nice to see something different. And Byrne said something great. He said, well, if you're weary of it, then don't do it anymore. Then you move on.
Right.
But why do you have to take it away for everybody else that's not weary of it, that appreciates the character the way he is?
Right.
Instead of it only being written to you, why not write it to the readers? And, you know, but no, I'm going to write it to me because that's what I want to see.
Right.
So that's how I'm going to write it. And that's pathetic.
Well, that's across the board through movies and obviously comics now, and everything is nothing new.
Mm-mm.
You got a new, you have an idea, you have something's not the way you want. Don't come up with a new character.
No.
Don't write a successful comic book with a new character. But probably just take old characters and change everything.
Change them up.
And, you know, as much as we complain about those things for just not liking it, it really worries me for the future of just creativity in general.
Totally.
Creative media is, what are we going to be left with in like 10 years when nobody's come up with any new characters that stick? Because everybody's concentrated on what's going on with whether it's the people that are changing it or the people that are paying attention to the changes being made. Where is there room for a new successful character to come in and breathe and give people something? You know, all these changes being made, they seem counterproductive. Not only do they anger fans of that like the things for the original characteristics, but just for the future of creativity, like. Where's it going? Nobody's going to make up anything new.
Well, look at what we grew up with in the 80s with toy lines and cartoons and things like that.
Right.
Where it was everything was cutting edge and everything was new and everything was just idea after idea after idea. And they were all just
right.
So different from each other and so exciting. And then you look at like toy stores and cartoons and things nowadays, and the only lines that seem to be successful are the evergreen lines. The ones that there's nothing new. There's no like new creation and new hot thing where it's like, wow, that's neat and that's new and that's something different, and you know, or it comes something else later on. Like the Transformers is now, you know, become an evergreen property, and Ninja Turtles is an evergreen property now, and Star Wars has carried on for all this time. But there's nothing new. Like there's no Mask or something like that, or Silverhawks that's like breaking out and trying something new. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Nobody is even taking that chance. Same with movies where it's like reboot after reboot and built-in audience and all that stuff. And it's just.
Yeah. Generally speaking,
Stan Lee, you know, we may have talked about this in the last episode, where he came out and is saying the same things we said, where it's like, I have no problem with creating a new character that is of a different ethnicity or of a different orientation or any of those things, but why, you know, why change an existing one? That's not the way it was created. That's the way it should stick, is the way it's created. And you don't need to change it. Create something new, because otherwise you're just taking somebody else's creation and changing it from what they wanted it to be. Right. And you're not creating anything new. You're just, you know, tearing down something old.
You're piggybacking.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, it seems
it's terrible.
Eh.
Terrible, man.
Well,
all right, that's the bad stuff.
I think that's pretty much it.
We have one major bad thing, but that's going to be fun. So we're going to wait on that.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about there.
I will say this. I watched the Creed trailer. Did you watch it?
Creed? Oh, yeah. I did.
Did you watch it?
I did.
It was okay.
Yeah.
The things I don't like about it, in case anybody doesn't know what we're
talking
about.
Miss Lippy, the part that I don't like?
I didn't like? Creed is a new film based in the Rocky franchise that focuses on Apollo Creed's son becoming a boxer, and Rocky comes in to train him and all that stuff, right? The thing I didn't like about the trailer is it really implies that Creed was like a absentee father, and that you know, he's raised off on his own, and like,
well, that was the main thing that I found odd just within the trailer. Of course, we don't know because it's not in the movie, but there seems to be a contradiction, because there's a part where he goes to the gym and the guy's saying, all these guys here are hungry. All these guys are, they've had to work for where they are, and they're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for the hungry, as implying that, for one, young Creed is not hungry. He's been given a silver spoon, okay, so that sets up something. But his reply is, man, he said something about his father. He said, man, I don't know nothing about him. I'm here for me or whatever. So you don't know about your father. Then later, when Rocky comes in,
he knows all about
the history and knows about the behind-the-scenes fights and stuff. And it's like, did you know about your father?
Did you not
know about your father? Are you hungry or are you not hungry? Because later in the trailer, he's doing a voiceover. He says, every punch I've thrown on my own, I've been alluding to him being, like, hungry and being down and out, and it's like, I'm kind of getting mixed signals as to who this character is and what...
I just don't like, you know... I liked Apollo Creed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't want this film to then tarnish my idea of Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
You know, to then be, he abandoned me, and he never took care of me, and he didn't do anything, and all. I don't want nothing to do with my dad, and all this different stuff. I don't want that.
Right.
I don't want this film to then be... the end cap on Apollo Creed, you know, to this to be the final word on what Apollo Creed was like.
Yeah.
You know, to then go back and kind of erase that Apollo Creed was a really cool character, you know? I did like Rocky showing up.
That was the best part.
That was the best part of the trailer.
And I don't even need that, really. I felt like Balboa really summed it up pretty good. So.
I agree.
But if the film brings him in and he's... I mean, it's obviously not about Rocky, and he just kind of maybe even doesn't show up until halfway into the movie. Like,
I have a feeling that'll be the case.
That would be okay with me, except there doesn't seem to be much personality in the film besides that.
Exactly.
And that's a problem with a lot of movies right now, at least in my opinion. And I don't know if it's just the actors that they have to choose from, or just like nobody... seems to have, like, the charisma of, you know, look at Carl Weathers. Has a lot of charisma. Mm-hmm. He has his own... He's bringing something of his own to that character. Even in the first movie, he is, you know, he's bringing something. And all throughout that series. And I'm just not seeing that. Not in this movie and not in any other film, honestly.
Yeah, even though he's the bad guy of the first one. I enjoy watching Apollo Creed. Like, I like Apollo Creed, and I want to see Apollo Creed. And when he's on the screen, I'm paying attention to Apollo Creed. Whereas in this trailer, the only guy that I wanted to see was Rocky. Like, the entire trailer, I'm like, when's Rocky going to show up?
Right.
When's Rocky going to be in this? Right. You know? And I don't want to feel like, if I go see the movie, to say the entire time just waiting for Rocky to show up.
Right.
You know?
Now, if they build it up with a really solid story and make me care for that character, then... You know, I could be on board. I'll probably see it. I probably won't see it in the theater, but I'll see it. But I don't have too much faith in Hollywood for doing solid stories anymore.
I agree completely.
You know, so I don't know. I'm not down on the film, but it seems at this point like sort of just an unnecessary. Now, Stallone was involved with the writing and the production of it, but it seems like okay, we've done this. We've done this six times already before for you, and then you had the movie Grudge Match, which was basically Rocky Balboa with a little more humor in it. Kind of. Okay.
Well, it's kind of what we were saying before, where it's like no new ideas. Where it's just like, how do we continue on the Rocky franchise?
Right.
Oh, we take, you know, can't do his son, we'll do, you know, Creed's son, and we'll carry it forward through that.
Right.
I like Sylvester Stallone, though, so I'm going to give it a shot, same as you are.
Right, yeah.
You know, I was not that impressed by the trailer. Okay, so a couple more things here. First, I want to give a quick plug. Aaron Williams, who listens to the show, he's our my wrestler friend.
Yes.
He's involved in the return of Intense Wrestling, Inc. here in Cincinnati, which I used to go to these shows, IWI. They used to be over in Western Hills.
That's where you
they
met your wife.
That's where I met my wife. Yes, exactly. They were a ton of fun. It was a smaller independent wrestling group, but they put a lot of effort into their shows and making storylines and, you know, having the crowd be involved in what was going on. And it was just a blast. We would go every 2 weeks, and it was just a fun, fun time. Then we kind of got away from it, and they ended up closing down. But they're doing a return show on August 1st, and Aaron's going to be on the card, along with Gotti and a couple other guys that I remember from those days. Dave, I can't remember his last name, and Bulldog. All these guys are kind of coming back, and they're bringing the show back. And I don't know how many people listen to the show are actually in the Cincinnati area.
Right.
But if you are in the Cincinnati area, you should get on Facebook and look for Intense Wrestling Incorporated, or just Intense Wrestling. You'll be able to find it. August 1st show at the Western Sports Mall. Really think about checking it out.
Is this a return? Like they're going to do it several times, or is it just a one-time
deal? I don't know. I don't have that much info on it. I would assume they're going to do more than one, but they're calling this one the return. So I hope that they'll keep it rolling after this. I'm really hoping to make it out. I don't know for sure if I'll make it out or not, but I really, really want to get out there. And if you enjoy like wrestling and you want to go to a sort of a more intimate type of wrestling thing as opposed to like a WWF show or something like that.
If
you're a Hulk Hogan fan, you might want to check this out.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was that. Speaking a little bit about movies, we both went and saw Jaws. It was great.
In the theater. They were playing it here for... Well, they probably did it all around.
They did it, all around for the 30th anniversary.
It was great.
It was so great. Just talking about movies that have come out currently,
yeah,
and then going and watching a movie that's 40 years old and being so much more impressed and so much having such more of a good time,
yeah,
and walking out and feeling like I didn't waste any money or waste any time. Even though I'd seen the movie hundreds of times.
That costs more than a standard movie to see.
And it was... I thought it was worth it.
Yeah, I didn't feel like, oh man, I really... What a waste of time. That movie holds up.
It sure does, man. And that shark looks great.
The shark looks great.
It looks really great.
Everything in it, I honestly did expect to be like, oh, well, I can see now that this is this. Or I expected to get bored because I had just watched it like a couple weeks prior on DVD. And it wasn't like that at all. I was totally engrossed.
Me too. It was never a lag point like where I was waiting for something to happen. Yeah. I know the beats. I know the dialogue and all that stuff. Right. It just felt fresh and new and just totally enjoyable.
Seeing it on the big screen, too, was a real treat for me because...
Same here. I never saw it.
I noticed some things that I hadn't before, like just little details, but when you're out on the boat and they're out, you know, it really makes a kind of an impact.
I was happy to see so many people there, too. Like, there were a good amount of people at the showing we went to. I took Blaze, and it was Blaze's first time seeing Jaws, and he's been asking to see Jaws, and for some reason we just hadn't had a chance to yet. But I'm glad we hadn't, because he got to see it on the big screen for his very first viewing of Jaws.
Right.
Man, it was a blast. You could tell some people in the audience that was there also their first time seeing it, because like the shock moments really got people.
Yeah.
It was funny, before we went in, and I don't know if I told you this already or not, before we went into the theater, my dad is always talking to Blaze about Jaws and telling him about... It's one of my dad's favorite films. It may even be my dad's favorite film.
Yeah.
And he's always talking to me about it and saying, oh, there's these great parts and these characters. You're going to love Quint. Robert Shaw's great. You're going to want to see more movies with him once you see this movie. And he said, man, there's one part that just it scared me, man. It made me jump out of my seat. Biggest scare I've ever gotten in film is when, you know, he's underwater and there's this dead head that, like, pops out. And it just gets you every time. And so we're walking into the theater and Blaze tells me that. He's like, oh, yeah, Paps told me that there's this part in the water where this head pops out. And it scared him so bad. And I was just a quick thinking. I was like, that's a sequel. He's talking about the sequel that happens, man. That's not this movie, but it does scare you. So
you told a fib, but it was...
I told a fib, but it was worth it because he jumped so far out of his seat when that head popped out. I've never seen him jump like that before. It was like such terror.
Yeah.
And he just loved it. And afterwards, he was smiling and laughing. He's like, I can't believe you tricked me. I can't believe you told me that was in the sequel. And I was like, well, it's worth it, man. You got the shock, you know, like... It was great, man. It was such a great, enjoyable experience to see that movie.
Yeah.
And to see it with him for his first time in a theater was just awesome. It makes me wish that there were more of those, like more films back into theaters again. Like, this should really be There should be a day a week at every theater where they show an old classic film.
Absolutely.
Where people can really see what movies were like and what classic films are, as opposed to a lot of the garbage that's out nowadays that people take as a good movie because they don't have a frame of reference to what a good movie is.
You know what's great about Jaws 2, not Jaws the sequel, but Jaws also, is that it couldn't be made today, because they would try and pigeonhole it into the genre, and people think of it as a horror movie. It is not a horror movie at all.
No, it's more suspense.
It's suspenseful, drama. And it's very psychological, and it just stands on its own. It's like, it's its own movie. It's just a story. Here's what happened in this, you know, at this time, in this place. And, and there was nothing crazy. You know,
and it's not trying for a sequel. Like, a lot of films are built now as a franchise. Like, we're going to do this, but the end goal is to have three films or something like that. And it had to try. Like, and when we watched the film, you probably had the same thing, where they talked about how the shark was not working.
Yeah.
And so Steven Spielberg had to go, okay, well, we'll film as the perspective of the shark. Since we can't film a shark, will be the shark. Like, the audience will be the shark. And that worked so well. It builds so much in your suspense, and you're completely enveloped in the film because you're becoming the shark. Like, you're that character then. And they would not do that nowadays. Well, you can do whatever you want nowadays.
It takes the shark out of the equation also, so that when you do see the little bits of it that you do, it's a real treat and it really makes an impact. And now it's not like that. And once again, I know we've had this discussion, George Lucas did not learn that lesson. Everything that happened in Star Wars, everything that happened in Jaws, it was all born out of these restrictions, these physical restrictions, and having to, you know, think quick and actually be creative instead of just, whatever my first doodle is, I put on paper, you can make it on a computer.
You can make whatever I want.
And also, not revealing your bad guy too soon. Cowboys versus Aliens? This is an odd example, but it's the last one I remember where I was actually enjoying it. I was like, this is going pretty good. And about 20 minutes into the movie, they show the alien full on. Well, that's it. That does it for me. I got an hour left of this thing.
That's what kind of worked in Jurassic World.
Boring.
We both saw Jurassic World.
Yes. Let's move on to that.
They build up to the Indominus Rex. Like, you don't see it full on to begin with. Like, it's kind of teased. Like, you see little snippets of it. You see this and that.
And actually, you never really do see, like, any gratuitous shots that I remember.
That movie is also guilty of what we're saying. We're not going to be hypocrites here. I really enjoyed Jurassic World.
I'm going to be a hypocrite.
Okay. I'm not going to be. Well. It's guilty of the, we can do whatever we want, so let's do whatever we want. There's a lot of times in the film where they could have pulled back on the CGI camera going crazy and doing things that are impossible for a camera to really do.
Right.
That checks you out. And during those scenes, I did check out a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought it was an incredibly fun movie.
Yeah.
More enjoyable than a lot of the current films I've seen.
I had a blast.
I did too. I had a great time. I took my boys with me, and we had a really great time. Like, it was just really fun. It wasn't depressing, and it wasn't going dark, and it wasn't beating you over the head with an agenda or any of those things. It was just a good, fun movie. Like, it was really just fun.
Despite some of the CG things that you're talking about, I felt like it was kind of an old-fashioned
Oh, I agree with
movie.
You.
Not from the 50s, maybe, but, you know, from that golden era of, like, 80s, 90s, just like...
Don't get me wrong. I agree. There are a couple scenes where they could have just not done that at all.
I felt the same way about that.
But they even had an animatronic dinosaur in there. They used animatronics for, I don't know if it was a apatosaurus or what it was exactly, brachiosaurus, I don't know. But it was animatronic, and it was really there. And Chris Pratt was really able to interact with it. And there were real, like, velociraptor animatronics that he was really able to interact with and touch. And they talked about that in the making of, how they wanted to bring that back because it was so integral to the first Jurassic Park.
Right.
To have that moment where you're actually touching and feeling and it's really there. And those scenes work so much better than if it was just a cartoon standing there. And you could see how he'd be interacting with something that's not really there, you know? You get so much more when it's physically there on the set.
I think so many things in that movie were really well handled, and that's why I didn't mind when I was... The scenes that we're talking about where they did... go a little far with the CG. I kind of gave it a pass because I'd been not been beaten over the head with it. They already drew me in with good set design, a good build-up. The characters were interesting, even though you might say that they were a little cartoonish in their extremes, but I really don't think they were. It was just enjoyable characters that I just had fun. It was just a fun movie. Everybody had a moment, you know. Everybody had like something cool that they did during the film, which one of my favorite moments is the girls, and I'm not going to talk about it because I'm going to spoil it. But the woman that's in it, I forget her name at the moment.
Her name is Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, that actress.
Yeah, I don't know what her.
You know what I'm talking about?
Moments in the film.
Yeah, one of my favorite.
Yeah, moments. She has great moments in the film, and that's why I didn't understand when I would read beforehand where Joss Whedon was claiming that the film is sexist.
Yeah.
And it's 70s sexism. Or didn't we move past this?
Right.
Do we not? Maybe we didn't see the same film. Because she has heroic moments.
I think people are hypersensitive to such things because they want to be.
Exactly. They look for it.
Yeah.
They eat it up. They want it to be there so bad.
And I wasn't going to talk about it, but I will just say that you can't confuse sexism with dynamics between characters. And I think I didn't read anything that he said or anybody else, but I get the feeling that anybody that was complaining, that's what it was about, because the Burt Macklin.
I love these Burt Macklin throughout the film.
It has a male lead, and he's a strong male lead, and he's good at what he does, and that's what he does. And I don't know why that has to be sexist. You don't have to have a woman who is equally as good at all the exact same things. The woman that's in the movie is good at what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And any conflict that they have between each other is, for one, because of some chemistry. You know, there's some tension between them because of physical attraction. That goes both ways. It's not and also because she's sort of a pencil pusher. She's out of her element in the wild, just as he would be out of his element in the office.
Yeah, put him in a boardroom, it's not going
to
work.
And actually, I think there are scenes where he's taken back to the, and he's just like, this is, you know, kind of not working for me. So
she doesn't get to have a character evolution unless she starts a certain way and then becomes another way.
Right.
So in ways, her character evolves more, and it's more of a developed character than Chris Pratt's character is.
Right.
He may be more appealing from the start, you know, to watch as a character and what he does, and that's a cool guy, he's doing cool things. But he doesn't, like, his character stays static throughout. It's
pretty
the same
much,
character,
yeah.
Whereas hers becomes more than it was at the beginning.
Right.
And for Joss Whedon to claim that this film is sexist, if you go back and watch Firefly, you can interchange Chris Pratt's character with Mal, and you can interchange Bryce Dallas Howard's character with Inara. And that's the same dynamic we've got going in here. That's not sexist. Your creation's not sexist, but this is? I'm sorry. It sounds more like sour grapes. That's what it really feels like. It felt like sour grapes reading those comments. And it kind of made me lose a little bit of respect for him as a writer and a filmmaker to criticize this and what it is based on what he had seen. I don't know how much he'd seen at that point, but to criticize it like that based on what he'd seen, for him to do the exact same thing in his films or in his creations or whatever, it kind of reeked of
I didn't say anything prior
hypocrisy.
That was... Yeah, it seems like... it's just... I just wish people would just calm down a little bit.
It's gotta stop.
Be able to see things for what they
stop.
Are. You know?
He's a strong male character. That doesn't mean that any other character is not strong because of that. He's just a strong male character.
We have this... Yeah, which, by the way, is a formula that's been working for as long as stories have been told. It's just the way it is. And if it had been a female in the lead, I would have been okay with that, too.
I don't claim Tomb Raider is a sexist character.
Right.
I don't claim sexism when I watch Tomb Raider.
No, you don't...
I just think she's a strong female character.
And
so what?
And I love Laura Croft,
yeah.
The character. I think that's an awesome character.
It's silly, man.
But
it really is silly.
It really is silly. And just speaking of this, also, someone had posted an article saying that the sexism had extended into the toys because Hasbro had used the words he when talking about the dinosaurs that they released in some promotional materials. It's not on the back of the package. I looked. It must have been in some catalog, which... You and I both know the catalogs are written by the employees from the, you know, from the company, for employees from the company or whoever the distributors are or the retailers, whatever. It's not like, you know, this is some guy who, or woman, I don't know, some person went into their office and said, oh, God, I got to type up this description for whatever.
Some dinosaurs.
And they weren't thinking, oh, these are female dinosaurs.
I better make sure that I don't make a sexist remark when I'm describing these toys.
I better make sure. They don't.
It's so ridiculous. It's over the top ridiculous now.
You're really reading into things at that point.
And I'm saying this is a guy that has a daughter and sons. You know, I want my daughter to have strong female characters.
Absolutely.
But this is ridiculous. This is out of hand. To claim that these things are sexist is just, you guys are reaching. You guys are really, really pulling for something that's not really there.
When all you've got is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail.
Yep.
Just keep hammering.
Totally, man. But Hasbro isn't blameless.
Hasbro's not blameless.
After seeing the film, I sent you this text. You want to just read these texts?
Let's go through these texts and see if we can
make
it.
I'm going to start right after the Shia LaBeouf picture.
See if we can make it
funny.
See
that one?
I see it, yes.
All right. And some of these we'll have to clean up because, you know, I may have used some colorful language, and we don't do that on the show. I used it once. I know I did.
Okay.
I will say this. I'm now even more upset with the Jurassic World toys having seen the film. The boys both want a Burt Macklin.
I thought that might be the case. Potential for a solid line there.
He is literally the only guy you need from the movie. It's like a Batman line, but only doing the bad guys and Gotham policemen, but no Batman.
Him, the girl, and some dinos would fit the bill. Hasbro bombed.
That's you.
What?
That's you.
I just read it.
We can skip those part.
Yeah, well... I was talking about that girl's robot hair.
Okay, here we go. And then in quotation marks, this is Hasbro talking. I know Batman catches the bad guys, but so can these cops if you try hard enough.
And then I laughed.
The kid has to try harder. That's making me laugh. That Hasbro expects the kid to try harder with the toys that they're providing.
Look, kid, we're busy. I don't know if you heard of Star World. Well, we don't actually care about dinos anymore. This situation is bleak enough to where he has to... I haven't read these in forever. The situation is bleak enough to where he has to put effort into his toys winning. It should be effortless.
It's his responsibility to make do with what's provided. Like, they're inadequate in even a make-believe scenario. Dinosaurs are extinct, kid. Space worlds are the future.
Hasbro had to tool those soldier guys. Why not make them characters and put them in a two-pack?
Yeah.
Space worlds.
They're drowning in their own...
These texts are sort of haphazard. They're drowning in their own toy line.
They shouldn't even say on the box.
I guess I was saying that...
They're drowning. They're killing their own toy line.
They're killing their own toy line, yeah.
I said that they should put on the box, dinosaur includes figure, not up to the task of defeating the dinosaur. Good luck.
You don't even need these, kids. Spend your mama's money someplace else.
Figure, in quotation marks, pretends to win, which is a callback to the old mask toy line.
Includes tearaway skin and food, because the dinosaur comes with this little military guy that's not even in the movie, but for like 2 seconds, nobody cares.
He doesn't do anything to help at all, the military guys don't. They never ride in that bubble thing, but they come with the bubble thing to ride in. They're in the helicopter, and that's about it. Yeah, the military guys do nothing.
Dinosaur comes with the bubble vehicle that the kids ride in and nobody else does, but it comes with a military guy. Let's take a detour from this for a second. I want to build up every promotional shot for this movie. Leading up to it was Chris Pratt.
Every single one.
That's all you saw. That's what got people excited in the first place, was him there with the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. Whoa, he's tough looking. This is going to be great. Every trailer focused on pretty much him doing something. The poster had him doing something.
The movie is all him doing something.
The movie is, he's the main character.
It's him and the girl, and that's it, really.
And it's like Hasbro was just feeling around in the dark. Ah, geez, we gotta make something for this movie. And we don't.
What do they have in the movie?
I don't know.
Well, they have Chris Pratt, okay. And they have Bryce Dallas, okay. We got the kids. Well, we got military guys.
Now you might be onto
Let's
something.
Let's go with that. It's like they didn't even see the movie. It's like they got some art.
Oh, man.
Some, like, what design
would,
art.
What would the art have been? Because everything was of Chris Pratt. Everything is of the main
Who
character.
Knows?
You can't get the main character for this line.
Maybe they were given, like, a couple sheets of the designs for the military guys.
I was
all they were
so
given.
Mad through the film. That was, like, my main thought.
It really was.
I was mad about
really
it before, and now I just can't wrap my head around it. Okay, back to the text messages.
They might as well have just included a goat or a plant instead of those military guys. Just as useful, make the kids fight the dinosaur with the tree.
It's bad guys only, anyway. It's powers only.
I can't say the next one because it's got a curse word.
I didn't write that one.
I did. okay.
And I said, I think I read that on their website, what you said. This,
and then I put, they really don't
they
care.
They really don't care. I asked if that was Mattel's.
And I put it was Kenner. You babies want the main good guy? Here, have this out-of-scale die-cast truck instead. I'm cracking up thinking of this little sad kid trying to make do with this line.
You kids see the months and months of promo pics and clips with the cool guy on the bike? Make believe you're getting him from our toy line company. From our toy company. Because you won't be. Under it. Oh, I should. Kids should have bought the reissued JP stuff. Maybe that's what it was. Hasbro released
all
that. Re-released all that Jurassic Park stuff that nobody was asking for.
People don't want the stuff from the films. They want us to make up stuff.
Let's see, you're trying not to wake anybody up. That kid is standing perplexed in the toy aisle. He doesn't want to leave empty-handed, but he can't quite piece it together. I've had this experience where I'm looking at, okay, we got a couple dinosaurs out of scale over here with these dinosaurs, and
you can't make it work.
Matchbox has released several Jeeps
Weird
and vehicles
truck that's out of scale.
That actually, we're not in the film.
Yeah.
There's one vehicle in the film that you want, and they didn't make that either.
No. He just has to hope he can make it work somehow. Maybe pretend the military guy is Chris Pratt in disguise, which I would do as a kid.
Yeah.
If I didn't have the certain figure, I would say, okay, well, this is him
in
disguise.
You'd have to make do.
That's pretty much their entire plan for the line is just, well, the kids will have to make believe.
Maybe the Matchbox set will make up for it. This is the kid thinking, maybe I can use that Nick Fury? A Velociraptor?
And then I put, digs through toy box. It will have to work. And I have a picture of one of those extreme road champs guys on a dirt bike.
Yeah, one of those.
That's obviously not it, but it's a guy and a bike. It's just going to have to work. You have to make do with what you've got.
And I said the kid was forced into being Tabe'd. He had no choice in the matter. It's not it's not a traditional Tabe, but he had no choice. He was forced into doing that.
There was nothing more he could do. Hasbro forced his hand, turning kids into customizers by necessity. They should just sell sacks of parts.
I said maybe that was secretly their noble plan.
Maybe it is.
Sweep up the floors around the assembly lines or just dump it straight into bags for sale.
It's actually better than what they did. And then I go to sleep.
And then James went to sleep.
But I do want to go back. Okay, so we were super upset about the Jurassic World toys. This exchange was something we were going back and forth through at night, and
it was a lot funnier when it was happening.
It was very, very funny. It's still funny to me. But go back all the way past the Shia LaBeouf thing,
because
we have an exchange about Aaron, the wrestler guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where we first wanted to actually share.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I shared a tweet from him that said, I should stop listening to the Action Future podcast at the gym. Laughing while lifting is bad move. And so I sent it to you, and you put, wow, that's awesome. That put a smile on my face. And I put, we done good. And he asked how I knew him, and I said, he's an indie wrestler. And so then you put...
Oh, that guy. He didn't skip the zip at the gym.
Because we were talking about the Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip that day. I hope he loaded up on some zip before the cardio.
He whips the crap out of the zip there. It's like muscle milk.
That guy over there is serious. How do you know? I saw a squeeze bottle of whip in his locker.
Don't even bother spotting him. He won't need it. Did you peep the zip?
His water bottle's full of it. He's got the wiener crust for a snack.
He's dipping it in the whip.
He's in the sauna with it, giving out high fives.
The crust would be all soggy. It makes it go down easier.
He's carried them up in his towel, pulled up like a basket in front of him.
He has them tied to strings on the barbell so he can dip the zip and then bite during reps.
That's all it was. But I was cracking up thinking about this dude
taking
Miracle Whip into the gym because it's on par with the commercial that I saw.
He's got the hot dog crust and the zip. He's prepared for the gym.
He's ready to work out.
He brings him in a towel.
I don't know if you've ever tried to work out, do a workout after eating heavy, fatty foods.
It makes you going to throw up.
Oh, you're going to puke.
And if you take it with you as you're working out, it's a bad move. We don't recommend it on Action
Fitness. I do. I recommend it. I want to hear about it.
All right, so that's all that stuff. One last thing is that San Diego Con is next week, and they've already started showing some stuff. Super 7's doing some really cool reaction He-Man figures. I think those are really sweet looking.
Those are cool.
I'm excited about those. Mondo's doing a Mirage-styled Ninja Turtle that's going to be 1/6 scale and it'll be way more expensive than I'm going to spend, but that's cool. I'm liking sort of the different stuff, you know what I mean? Like, not the standard 6-inch articulated figures. You know, here they are again and again and again. Seeing things that are different and thinking kind of outside the box on things is pretty cool.
Outside the bun.
Outside the bun.
Yeah.
And I got to say, the reaction line is really kicking it up for me.
Like, yeah.
Those Jaws figures are great.
They're really cool.
They're really great. And I think the Gremlins figures look really good. I think these He-Man figures look really neat. I'm hoping to see more licenses from them and them keep improving, because now it seems like they're really getting it. They're getting the style now, where it's like, okay, these don't need to look cartoony and weird and all that.
They don't need to look gloppy.
Jazz, gloppy and odd plastic. Now they're actually trying to make them look like they were made by Kenner or Mattel or whatever back then.
Right.
They were good, decent sculpts. Great card art. It seems like they're really finally getting it. So hopefully that line continues and adds more and more licenses to it.
Speaking of that company, you said that they weren't sure if their Legacy line was going to continue.
I was reading online about that. Yeah, that the Legacy line may be in danger because the failures of the Magic the Gathering toys and what's seemingly the failure of the Game of Thrones stuff. It's just not selling that well. And then I don't think anybody picked up the other two licenses they had in there, the Fantastic Mr. Fox or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And there was another one that was, that I can't remember what the movie was called.
That's a shame.
Based on the Guillermo del Toro puppet movie or something?
That's a real shame.
It is
because
a shame.
We just got the Rocketeer, so if we got that out of it, I can go home happy with that, because that figure is fantastic.
It is the best of the Legacy figures, without a doubt.
It's fantastic.
Like, if they were all that great, I would buy the Firefly figures, but the Firefly figures aren't as good as that Rocketeer.
They do not look that good.
The Rocketeer is a perfect figure. Like, it's fantastic. I don't think there's anything I'd change about that figure, really, for the price it is. Some guy called me out online because I had said that I actually enjoy it more than the Medicom figure. I think it's a better figure. The Medicom is expensive. It does not have an interchangeable head. This is a $20 figure, interchangeable head, good likenesses. I think solid paints, great sculpt, articulation that works, that's not overboard. It's just a really great, fun figure. I love that Rocketeer. If they were all as nice as that Rocketeer, I think it'd be in better shape right now.
But if they had sort of done what they're doing with Reaction, but just take one strong main character from properties that people... I know Game of Thrones has a big following and stuff, but it's a different crowd. It's not really like...
They're not really action figure collectors, I don't think.
Right.
My wife watches Game of Thrones.
Right.
She does not care about action figures.
She's not going to buy one.
I'd say the majority of the people I know that watch Game of Thrones don't care about action figures.
Right.
Well,
they're not building on years and years of nostalgia like with Rocketeer. If they had done stuff like that from the beginning,
they'd be in better shape.
Yeah.
They had some really big problems with quality control right off the bat, too. So I'm kind of glad the Rocketeer came out when it did, because it's like they were hitting it right then.
Yeah, I guess that was my point, was we just narrowly, just barely got this great figure that we've been
for. Had the Legacy line been canceled before that figure hit?
I would have been.
To have seen that figure and then not get it would be heartbreaking.
It would have been par for the course for me. I was actually surprised
that
it made it out. Because that happens.
See, I would love if they went back to that same time period and went, okay, we'll make a Warren Beatty Dick Tracy, and we'll make a Alec Baldwin Shadow. You know, there's a built-in audience there that would just like those characters, regardless of who they're based on.
Right.
People would love a great Dick Tracy figure or a great Shadow figure at that scale. And it wouldn't even matter if it's the movie one, because the movie ones look like a passable resemblance to the comics, especially the Shadow. The Shadow's dead on.
I would certainly be...
I would be all over that Shadow.
Forking over $20 a piece for those.
Without a doubt. I think it's the same audience you have that would buy the Rocketeer would buy those figures, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really needed to diversify a little bit instead of focusing so much on current things. Like, Game of Thrones was pretty current. Magic was pretty current.
Full lines for those, too, which...
Magic may have been a huge mistake.
I like a whole toy line. I like to be able to get all the characters you want, but at $20 a piece, that's not the type of thing where you can really... Do like, oh, here's 10 characters from the movie. Like, that's $200 that somebody's not going
to... It would have been neat to see him do something like those... Remember those Legendary Comic Heroes or whatever that Marvel Toys did? It was Toy Biz before?
Yes.
Where the it was an entire assortment of stuff from different... There was going to be a Rocketeer in that line that didn't happen.
Right, yeah. Right.
But the entire assortment was characters from different comics, and it was, like, completely diversified. You have Madman in with Judge Dredd, and Monkey Man and O'Brien in there, and all these different things that are all put into one toy line. It would have been neat to see this like that, where an entire case has, say, a Game of Thrones character, the Rocketeer, one character from Firefly, one character from some other thing, where the whole case is giving you a bunch of different stuff. And, you know, there's an audience for every single thing in there. I think one Tyrion figure from Game of Thrones would have sold great. But an entire line where you're getting all these other characters that aren't really fan favorites, yeah, it's not going to work as well.
Right.
And then doing those two new movies was a mistake. That was a big mistake. That Fantastic Mr. Fox or whatever and that other one in this line, that was a big mistake.
Yeah, that was a misstep.
They should have maybe just done those as reactions. I'm sure they would have put a lot less money into that. And lost much less money doing that. Because those were all unique sculpts. They're not going to be able to use those for anything else.
Right.
It'll be a shame to see it go, because especially after that Rocketeer, to know the potential's there for other things would be a bummer.
Yeah.
And I think that's about it, right?
That's about it. Bruce Campbell's been shown.
Looks great.
As Ash.
He looks great, man.
For the TV show, I think it looks really
cool. He looks like Ash.
He's, he's back. I mean...
You can't ask for anything more than that. If you're an Ash fan, he's wearing the blue button-up, and he's wearing the brown pants. He's got the chainsaw hand, which I'm so happy to see the chainsaw hand back. I kind of assumed he was going to have the chainsaw hand, especially in that little teaser thing. But, I mean, when Ash left him with the metal hand from Army of Darkness.
Right.
And even though I liked the metal hand, Ash is the chainsaw hand.
It's about the chainsaw.
It's about the chainsaw hand. And he lost some weight, man. He looks great.
Yeah, he got back in good shape.
He really did.
I love that.
I
love,
can't wait to see it.
I love that comeback story. I love...
That's why we're so excited about Star Wars. You know, the comeback.
Just
the hero returning.
Yeah, the people coming back. And in real life, I love the idea of these actors living with these iconic characters forever and being able, having the opportunity to step back into those roles. One more time, and give some people what they want and have some fun and just...
Love it.
And be forced also to challenge themselves to say... Can I step back into this and do this again?
Can I do it one more time?
I've gained a lot of weight.
Can I drop it?
I've been out of shape. How can I get back into this and do it? And I love that.
This whole show is kind of an exercise in dichotomy, is that how you put it? Because at one point we're like, how about some new things? How about some new stuff? But at the same time, we're like, man, I love when the old guys come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, I love it.
We contradict ourselves a lot, but that's what's great about us.
I love it. I love it when it's done right.
Me too. And it looks like they're doing it right.
Well, I guess it really is too much to get into, but it depends on the property. It's like if Bruce Campbell says, I want to do an Army of Darkness TV show and let me come back and do it, I support that.
If Mark Campbell's like, if they ask me to come back as Luke, I can't say no.
Right. If Mark Hamill says,
I can't do that.
I want to come back as Luke.
Yeah, even if I didn't want to do it.
Even if he didn't want to.
I have to do it for everybody else.
But I love Ron Perlman wants to do
Hellboy. For Hellboy 3.
He wants to do Hellboy 3. I love that because that's Ron Perlman. He was involved in it.
Yep.
This is not some third-party Hollywood group that's saying, hey, we can bank on that. Let's just crap one out real quick.
Yeah, let's just do it. Crystal Skull comes to mind.
That's where I have a problem with
with
that stuff is because nothing new is being generated. I'm okay with people originally involved.
I'm on the same page. I just think it's funny that we spent the first half of the show talking about how much we hate that they don't do anything new. The second half of the show, we're like, man, I love when they do stuff that's old.
Love the old stuff.
All right, well, I guess that wraps up this show, right?
Wrap it up!
Everything?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
That's all.
So thanks for tuning in again, guys. Appreciate all the positive feedback and, you know, even the not positive feedback. If you don't like us, tell us you don't like us. Tell us what you don't like.
If we're too smarmy,
we want to hear it so that way we can make fun of you throughout a bunch of episodes. Making fun of you.
Make a joke.
Okay, so we're going to sign off on this one, and we'll see you guys next time.